We are now recording?
Yep. The red light's on. I'd like to bring this September 25th, 2018, a meeting of the Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees to order. I'd like to request a moment of silence, and then we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Joe.
Okay, Mark Sattler.
Here.
Bo Miller.
Present.
Dave Bench.
Present.
Roll call complete.
Need a motion to approve the minutes from September 11th, 2018, a regular meeting. I suppose everybody read them, so.
I looked over them. I didn't see anything that jumped out at me, so I can make a motion to accept the minutes.
I'll second it.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. Well, we'll put you on, Joel. We'll have the fiscal officer's report. Joel.
In your pile of papers, as usual, is various reports, starting with the receipt detail report. Collected $1,241.88 in income, as indicated from your report since last meeting. You also have fund status report in front of you, showing what we have in our Star Ohio of $574,510.88. No change there. Checking balance at Krogh and Colonial Bank of $319,104.94. And lastly, payment listing since last meeting with, well, we have some voided checks. Let's see, 16 warrants number 16911 through 16965. 16911 through 16965, totaling $26,204.74.
I didn't do the checks yet, so I'm just kind of going through them quick.
Ask away.
You need a motion for approval?
Yeah.
So moved.
Okay.
I can second it.
Okay. Okay, roll call. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried. Other than that, I just have one certificate I need signed. All I was doing was just closing a blanket certificate and opening it up with some more funds from within that account to pay bills. The closer to the end of the year, within a fund, you might have to put some more money in to pay for something, and you're not spending money from the other. So I believe that was for electricity for the fire department. So I think that's what it is, the $21.91. And last meeting I stated that the IRS was just going to, that overpayment that was made in 16, they were just going to subtract that from our what we would owe in 18, and then they sent us a check like a week later. So I deposited that check, and it actually had interest.
No kidding.
Which I kind of first thought I should call, and then I called, and then I read this little note on there, and I said, sure enough, I don't know why they would do that, but here we are. And so I just, really just so you understand, I made the deposit to the bank, but because two payments were made in the past, I had to wash out one of those payments. So I never showed the deposit on the report, but I have to then reconcile the bank records And so I can do that because I knew that income will come in and there it is, if that makes sense. So, but I did deposit that difference in the interest because that makes sense to me.
It makes sense too, yeah. Yeah, keep it separate.
But I thought it was, first I got the email saying one thing and then I got the check. And I was like, okay, well, great. So, other than that.
Must have been cleaner for them, huh?
You know, one hand doesn't talk to the other like it usually doesn't. Yeah. So, I don't have anything else unless you all do as far as from the fiscal side of things.
Anything else? If not, I need a motion to approve the fiscal officer's report.
I can make that motion.
No, I'll second that.
Okay, roll call. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Saller.
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Who seconded that? I'm sorry.
I seconded.
Mark did.
I'm sorry. I'm writing it as you're saying it. Okay.
Well, I guess the fire department reports next, and no one's here, so I guess we can skip that. Recreation department, no one's here either. We'll skip that one, and zoning inspector's not here, so I guess we could skip that one. So, Kevin, you're on the maintenance department's report.
You can almost skip me, too, but the only things that I really had, we just had one funeral at the cemetery. I believe all of you were given a copy of the agreement we're looking to put into place with the neighbor for the new expansion. If you get any questions on it or see anything that needs to be changed, let me know so I can get back to the lawyer before we take it to the neighbor to have them review it, to sign it. And we did have a meeting the other day with a company out at the cemetery just to get a preliminary estimate on drainage and pond and driveways. And oh, the other thing with our spray patch that I've used over the years, I got an estimate from them and they've really went ridiculous. They're like $25,000 for the work that we need to be done, which is usually under 10 for the amount that I had marked out for them. So it's up to you guys. I thought about bringing them in to get a little bit of it done, but I'm not willing to bite $25,000 down to smooth out a few roads here and there. They're bumps, but they're not holes.
Did you try these other littler guys around here too?
I haven't called anybody else. I just got the estimate last week from them. Yeah. And I haven't called him back yet to discuss anything with him, but it's gotten ridiculous.
You know, there's a couple other guys here that, you know, so why don't you call them?
Because normally,
time's getting short.
When I used those guys before, it was about $2,500 a day per machine. So I'd had $5,000 a day with two machines because they send two machines at once. And it's just, no, I can't agree to it for material or labor they're going to have into it.
I was never happy with him anyhow. He stuck us at church one time. He said he was going to do the job, and he said he's going to do it all. Well, he said, oh, I come up short. He stopped. He didn't do the whole parking lot.
Well, you know, I still got patches and roads that we haven't done since I started here. We've not resurfaced that are still holding yet from potholes that they sprayed in. The cold patch that we can get any more around here, if you can get a season out of it, you're lucky.
Hey, lucky.
So that was the best way to go for cost effectiveness. And right now it just ain't looking good. Unless something changes with him when I call him back, because I've dealt with these guys now for about 18 years now, 19 years, and we've never had any issues before.
Kevin, is that something that possibly, I don't even know what the machine would cost, but is that something that maybe would be wise for us to maybe to invest in
it,
a spray patch machine to have? I mean, if it's something that, you know, if you're saying, you know, $25,000 to do this stuff, and
that machine is most probably, I'd say about $100,000.
Does it that much? Okay.
For the machine, they're very maintenance. There's a lot of maintenance on them. just due to the product that they shoot through them from wear and build up of the tar and stuff.
Okay.
It's a machine that you're going to replace parts on frequently. So the county just got one that they're using, and we'll see how well that does with them. But as of right now, I had them patch out here in the parking lot for us, which I'm glad I did after getting this price. But they're not that great at it yet. It takes them a couple of years to...
So the county just got their first one, is what you're saying. They've never had one before?
No, they got one to try and to see what it would cost them to fill their own holes and everything. If you drive down Corduroy Road, they created a lot of speed bumps down Corduroy. So they have their limits. They're trying to spray cracks, and it ain't meant to spray cracks. But it's something to think about. But yet again, I haven't got a price from the county to see what they charge us to come do some of that stuff. Because like when they do their mill and fill and everything else out here, if we get in with their program, it cuts a lot of costs for us. So that might be something for next year to look into. And when we go to our meeting with the county, maybe have some idea what we want done and see if we can have that added to their list, and they give us an estimate on what it's going to be. And I wouldn't think anywhere near $25,000. So, you know, the stone's cheap, per se, and it's just, no. As a taxpayer, I couldn't choke down that for the amount of work they're going to do for the scope.
I'd say call a couple people this week and see if you even get them anymore.
Well, you can. That stuff, you can spray that stuff in January, and it works. It's just wanting... have somebody out in January out here trying to spray something.
No, I don't think so.
It's all hot mix. So, but no, we got something in today coming through the fax, and that was one of the things they offered. So I was going to call and just try to get a price from them and see where we're at with the other company. So, that's all I really had.
I got a couple things for you, and you kind of touched base on it for me. Was the number of signs, you think we had about 17 cemetery levy signs, you said, or
13?
Okay, so that'd be good to kind of get an idea of, we not got a number of what we can work with as far as locations and places to put them, you know.
And those are all billboard signs.
Big 4x8s or whatever, 3x6, whatever.
Yeah, 3x6.
Okay, so we got signs, and then...
we didn't have any little ones, did we?
No, we never bought any little ones. We just put the big ones up.
Okay. And then the last thing I got, and I think you weren't here at the last meeting, Mike had asked where we were at with the mulch for the Verb Park. I think he's kind of waiting... Last I understood, you were gonna rototill that up and then have new brought in and spread it with the little John Deere.
If that's what we want to do, or do we want to wait till the spring and take some of it out, or do we just want to cover? Which the stuff is there settled down quite a bit, but it's getting pretty ate up. I think you could get away a few more years if you wanted to just top it.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you want to do it yet this fall, then let it sit through the winter, or wait till the spring. Then everything's fresh on it. We can till it up and everything yet this year. That's no problem.
Okay. But just put new in it next year?
That's what I would think. That would make sense. Spring, everything would look really nice.
Okay.
And you wouldn't have a breakdown of it over the winter.
Yeah, so we're getting close now to, well, it's fall now, so. Yeah. Okay.
Because originally when we talked about it, the plan was is dig everything out of it and then haul in all the mulch and refill it, which... it'll take quite a few yards to fill that back up.
Right.
Originally, when we put it in, I think it was about 8 inches deep. So
okay, I'd say let's get it tilled up this year, and then we can address the fresh stuff in the spring.
Makes sense.
I like that idea.
Anything else? Thanks, Kevin. Trustees report. You want to give a little bit on the cemetery, or Mark?
Well, we've got some information on the. Well, you want to talk about the levy later?
We could. You know.
Okay. All right. That's fine. I don't have anything really to.
Just do it all there.
Okay. All right. But we'll talk about that with the levy on under new business. Okay.
Anything at Halls and Reynolds?
No. I guess not really. I did get a new calendar, so I'm booking dates already in the 19. So a lot of the scouts groups, you know, they're the ones that
The 4-H groups and yeah, all that. She gets in here real early.
Yeah, too. She I've got all her dates through like May or June, and a lot of the Cub Scouts they wanted to get them dates in, which them are perfect because a lot of them are during the week, you know, a Thursday night or something, and they're here for a couple hours, so it's perfect. But I got them booked in. I had a lot of people starting to call me, so I ran up and grabbed a calendar, and so I got 19 starting to get filled up now. So
it's kind of your job too. You didn't get brought up to you, but like when we had the auditor people here, mm-hmm. hit up Kevin to make sure, you know, it's in your book, you see it.
Okay. Yeah.
Make sure he gets it out on the sign there from now on.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the auditor, because that's coming up too.
It was today.
Oh, it was today?
It was today.
That was, I'm
my yesterday, I was there.
Okay, sorry about that, yeah. Okay.
You got the book, that way it's easier for you to remember. I used to do that all the time. Roads and bridges, I guess Kevin's talked about a little bit. Still working on Marius there, trying to get some bids so we can fix those tiles so that drains down there. And, I got some other stuff in Rosinette back here in the old business. We'll go with old business. There we go. Cemetery levy discussion. You're on, Mark.
Okay. All right. Well, we've talked to the auditor, and we're going forward with a one quarter of a mill levy for November. The cost for that, for the way they quote it, is based on somebody with a $100,000 tax value home. The tax that they would be assessed would be $8.75 per year. So it's really, really small. It's going to show up as levy issue number 17. It's a 5-year levy. And it's estimated to generate about a little over $16,000 per year for each of 5 years. So that will certainly cover all the costs of what it's going to take to do the development of that expansion. So our current cemetery is pretty much full, and we've purchased additional property next door. But there's a fair amount of development that needs to happen. It needs to be leveled. It needs to. There's a pond to be dug in the back. A reflecting pond and grading of the property. But and we're waiting for a quote to come back from Grottle. We believe that the levy proceeds will be adequate to cover all of the development that's needed. We're preparing the information to go out for our community to educate them, inform them about the levy, and I understand that really Joe Kiss was the driving force behind this for a long time. So I think there's an effort to also try to work that history and Joe Kiss's commitment to expanding that cemetery into the whole promotion. It is required by the state of Ohio that every township provide a cemetery for its residents, and that's the reason why we expanded. We're just about full on our existing cemetery grounds, and so this will provide additional cemetery space for many years to come. And anything else, David?
No, I can't think of anything else. You covered it pretty well, I thought. Just that mandate one is all I saw that we could put in there. And,
okay.
And once we get some figures from Grottle, we could kind of put that in there. So we have, that's on paper. I think you did a good job.
Okay. Any feedback from folks about, obviously people don't like new taxes, but this one's really small, and it's to make sure that we have additional cemetery space for the future. Any feedback, any opinion?
What would happen to the person?
Jim.
Sorry, yeah. James Bushby. Sorry. What would happen to the project saying the levy would not pass? Would it still continue on with, no?
It was estimated one time, just a verbal one, it was going to cost us $32,000 to dig the pond and move the dirt and bring it up forward.
The land has already been acquired.
Yeah, the land's been acquired. But it's still going to cost us $32,000 just to get the driveways and everything else. And
it would be a very long, drawn-out process. You're talking,
Years.
Dave may not,
I won't be around.
Yeah,
One more question in that same aspect on what Mark said. If it's mandatory for the township to have that and the expansion would be necessary in other directions, could the township enforce eminent domain?
No.
To acquire the property?
We already acquired the property and... If we would have went eminent domain on the piece of property that we got, don't quote me exactly on it, but you would not have been allowed within 200 yards of the property line to do anything like that. And we had some trustees back 18 years ago that had discussed that. And they got such a rude pushback on it that they didn't pursue it. Mm-hmm. But when I started looking at the Ohio Revised Code prior to us purchasing the property, I just happened to catch that and I sort of chuckled about it because I was one of them against the eminent domain thing because it wasn't what I required as a necessity for the township to have. It was no burden at that point because we were still 400 graves, 500 graves in the existing. So we purchased it, which is a different section of the Ohio Revised Code with a lot less restrictions on it.
Okay, so thank you.
Yeah, I think the cemetery fund right now is probably got the more money than it ever has, but that's because we raised the rates of the non-resident burials, and we raised it up a lot. And it still don't have a lot of money in it. I mean, it's not enough to even get the drainage done, so.
Dick, what do you got to say about it?
Yeah. Okay.
Nobody wants to talk about a cemetery till they need to go in it,
Dick, are you going in our cemetery?
Pardon?
Are you being buried in our cemetery?
I have a lodge there, yes.
Well, you do. A special porch group for you.
Whatever. I might outlive you.
That's very possible. Handwritten notes.
Never say never.
I think it's. When it comes to regards to the cemetery, I've been trying to push this as much as I can. Anytime I get a chance to talk to somebody or meet somebody new or talk to them, and the amount I think is what's going to get us over the edge here.
I think so too.
I think it will. It's just a matter of getting the word out. I think once we finalize this, I'll take the beating again, and maybe I'll post it on the Talk of the Jerusalem Township, because the amount of people that read that is amazing to me. How many people actually are on there? They bitch about everything, but so many people see it, just keep getting the word out as much as we can. I mean, like Dave said before, it's almost like you're out politicking to win a re-election. You got to get out and talk to the people and see the people and explain it to them. So,
can I make a suggestion on that? Just to your point on the Facebook page, it would make sense to maybe you three get together at the entrance to that gateway, which you guys did, and the plaque that has Joe's name on it, right, in the board at the time, now coincide with that article to the Metro Press and on the social media. People got to understand that that's a legacy for him and for our township. That's my thoughts.
The one thing that I would like to see, if we do use Joe in this in any regards, is we ask for permission from Jenny and the kids.
Oh, definitely, definitely, definitely.
As long as they're okay with it, then we can do that. But yeah. I think it'd just be wise of us to do that.
Oh, so. definitely, yeah. I thought of the same thing, Bo, that we got to ask. Yep.
Larnett, Mark, I think that actually both these are really good. The one Dave wrote up and yours, I kind of read yours in the emails, and I thought, well, he kind of had it covered and everything, you know, and what we needed, and I think it's...
The main thing I wanted in was just the mandate of the state, you know, so people understood that we had to do that, and yeah, basically the other stuff was, and Joe, I've had several people ask me, or tell us that we should do something like that, you know, put his picture maybe in the paper, and then have maybe what we have here underneath it or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel, Dave, I guess what you and Mark, do you think an insert in the Metro or an actual ad? What are your thoughts on that?
I think we better do an actual ad, because picture right in the paper and put it right in there, and it costs a little bit, but I think I ought to do it that way instead of an insert.
Instead of, what about them running it as a story? There should not be a cost to the township.
Yeah, it would be nice if we, as you suggested, maybe if there is a plaque that's going to be placed at the gateway entrance.
Well, it's on there.
There is one.
Oh, there is.
What I say is, because that's a very new, how long ago was that gateway archway?
Four or five years ago.
So very recent, that beautiful entrance archway has some reference to the board at the time that they got that done. And that would be a story, not a paid... That's a conversation with the Metro Press, who should run that as a story. A follow-up story, not only after getting permission from Jennifer, but a follow-up story to Joe Kiss, and because that was one of his legacy. That was one of the things he did,
right?
Before we got to where we are now. But that should definitely not cost us. And that should be something they should run. I would say ask the editor...
That's a great idea.
I never thought about that. That's a good idea.
Who is the one that he should? Since you're leather, your cemetery is it Kelly? Is that who usually ran them? Kelly Cazala? Is that the one that Joe?
Yeah.
I mean, Kenny will take the pictures. Yeah. You know, if you coordinate that, it's just an afternoon. Give them what they need to run in it, and have them take the nice photo and. That'd be nice.
And we've got the information that they can put it in there.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. They can word it in, right? I think that's a very good idea, Joel. Yep.
All right. So first things first, who would make contact with Jennifer to get permission to... is that me?
I could, Doug. I know her a little bit better than you do. So
I saw her when she was here that one night, but no, I've not actually spoken to her directly.
Yeah, I mean, I can talk to her.
You want to do a bone?
Yeah, I can. Okay. If I'm doing that, I can catch up with her. And
sounds good.
Okay, just let me know, and then I can reach out to the press.
Twist some arms.
You're sitting in their office and staring at them. It's a little different.
Okay. All right, great.
So I guess if we get that amount back, I think we got everything we need. I don't think anything else to you, Bo.
No, I think it's everything's there. It's just, we'll get them to put it in there, and Mark can kind of head that up with her with Kelly that, hey, these are really sticking points we want in the article.
Okay.
Okay, very good. We'll do.
Now, do we want to pick a time to do the signs? Also, as a bunch of guys, like, so that way we know to get them prepped and ready?
We can, and just throwing this out here, my best days are Fridays because I'm not off, but I'm available, if we set a day on a Saturday or a Sunday to do it. Yeah. Dave and Mark, you're retired, and Dave, you're the farmer, so I know you work whenever it's
all
not raining all the time.
No,
so
not all the time. It's slow now.
But Fridays I'm off, so, I can definitely help. Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Friday would be a good day for me. How about you?
That's fine. Yeah, Friday work.
I got a job, so.
We doing it this Friday, or what date? Next Friday?
Next Friday, maybe, huh?
The 5th? Okay. Or
you want to do it Saturday? You want to help? I don't know.
Yeah, I'd like to help. I mean,
okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I can do it Saturday.
Let's look at next Saturday.
Okay, so Saturday, the only thing I have going on is I have a football game. Charlie's got a football game at noon. So if we get up and do it early in the morning.
That's the first Saturday in October.
What?
So is this the 6th, October 6th, first Saturday?
Never mind, I won't be here.
We'll be here?
You guys have a good time. Put your signs up. No.
Just forget about it then, you?
Or we can do it Sunday.
Sunday afternoon.
Sunday the 7th?
Sunday afternoon?
Yeah,
I could do it in the afternoon.
Yeah. I'll be home.
All right, so Sunday.
Like 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock?
October 7th.
Is that too late for you?
Boy, that's my nap time. Yeah, man. No, I'm okay.
All right.
So, Sunday, October 7th, 3 o'clock. We're going to meet here.
We could take two trucks even. You know, it wouldn't take us very long. Get them. Right.
Have to put the stickers on and then take them out of place.
Stickers on?
No, we have to put the stickers on.
No, did you do it yet? You're saying yes. You did them already.
Okay, so we just have to take them out of place.
Yeah, just place them.
I did them the other night.
Okay.
And we got a sledgehammer.
You just use your fist, don't you?
I don't know. You got big paws of yours. Hey, you know what? I'm taking Mark. You can have Dave. No, it's fine.
Well, let's see. Is anything else on the...
I think that's a cemetery for you.
Okay.
We'll move on to Van Dyke Road Culvert. I know, I'll just repeat what Kevin said. He had Grottles here while we had him over there at the cemetery, and he's going to give us a bit on that. So, a lettering on the township vehicle. That's what he had, and I goes, well, I don't think that's dark enough. So he had this one and this one, Bull.
I kind of like that one the best. I mean, that almost like a royal blue, but either one of them are good. I do like that. That come out nice, though. Yeah. He did a good job on that. Yeah. So I think either one of them blues that you've got there, you know, the trucks are white, so it's really going to stand out.
It's really going to stand out.
No matter what color you put, you know, which one of them. So I.
The old labels we had on the other trucks were black with red background in them.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, they were pretty bold. They stood out really.
Yeah.
I do like the design. I kind of like this blue a little bit better, but
I like that one too better.
Okay.
Whatever.
Yep. But yeah, go with that one.
$100. Okay. So should I...
Per vehicle?
Per vehicle.
And what are we doing? The pickup truck and...
Just doing one to see
what it looks
like.
Oh, we're just doing one right now.
Just doing one.
Okay.
And that's on both side doors?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We said we'd try one.
Yep.
Make sure...
Yeah, if it looks good, then we'll do the other two trucks. Yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I don't know. That's why I told him kind of. Like,
which one are you going to do?
Pickup.
Pickup?
Makes no difference. Whatever one you want to put first, because I know we're doing the other two, so we might just schedule.
Oh, wait a minute. It doesn't even cost us anything because this is taken care of, so.
The first one does.
First one, yeah.
Oh, the first one's free.
Free.
Because somebody was paying for it,
They're paying for it.
Okay. So, perfect. If it does, then we'll make the motion to get the next two done afterwards. Yeah. And
sounds good.
All right.
Okay, good.
I like it.
Okay, Maris Drive outlets. So I've been working on that, I guess, with subcontractors, trying to see if we can get in there. Metzger's Road repair. Talked to Grottle. He's the only one that bid on it. I think Mark said that they only got 500 ton of stone. They're just going to do the worst. Mark said he talked him into doing the ones up by the lake, and 500 ton isn't very much, so they're just kind of... patchwork, that's all the money they got, I guess. So that's what they give John, and that's all. So it's not good, put it that way.
But they're going to get it open here then, hopefully, huh?
Well, Grottle said they'd probably move in a week or about a week, he said, maybe, if everything works right. But so it could be open, but I don't know how long it'll last because they just don't have enough money to do the whole thing, right? So it could wash out any place and do the same thing again. And I don't know if I have enough money next year. We'll find out, I guess. So that's where that stands. Any other old business?
Yes. I've got one thing to touch base with, and I'm actually going to let you look at the color copy here, David, because it's kind of hard. And so we talked about the John F. Kennedy Park back there. I met with Hale Gregory, the superintendent of Oregon City Schools, Dean Sandwich, the assistant superintendent, and Mike Shea, one of the school board members, come out here and they looked at the property, and they were very, very intrigued by it. They loved the idea, and I actually had this is a website. It's at the University of Minnesota. This was sent to me by the AP science teacher there at Clay. And this is kind of their... I guess when I first started talking about this, I was thinking of FFA, the ag teachers and stuff. Well, the science teachers are the ones that are really interested in this. They're the ones that are they're really the driving force behind this. And what it is that the University of Minnesota has this, it's called the Cedar Creek Ecosystem Science Reserve. And it's on a huge scale. And what it is they actually got plots. Like, it looks like a big checkerboard out there, little plots, and they do different things to do, like, carbon footprinting, and they do tests on the soils, and, you know, it might be such a thing as they have the fire department go out there and burn a section of that field, one area of it, and then they can study how it recovers, you know, for wildland fires. So that's kind of the, it was just kind of an idea, kind of show you what the AP science teacher is looking at to possibly do with the property. There were a couple concerns and a couple questions, and they addressed them to me as, number one, why do you want, you know, when I approached them about a lease, they said, what was the reason behind the lease? And I said, well, it was kind of take us the liability off of the township. He goes, are you worried about like a kid getting hurt? And I said, yeah, that's basically what we're worried about. He goes, we're covered. He goes, anytime a kid's in the school, they're covered under a policy, whether they're on a field trip, at a, doing something, they're covered. Okay, so there'd be no liability back to the township on that. And then they said, to make it easier, instead of doing a lease, why don't we just go into a cooperative agreement with them, which basically we still own land, we still have possession of land, we still basically have control of the land. It's just a cooperative agreement to allow them to do their testing, do their plots out there. The other question was brought up. I said, you know, we can't make a, you know, my thought was originally was to farm it. Well, we couldn't farm it because we can't make money off of it. Mm-hmm. Well, their question was, okay, so if the ag teacher comes out here and they plant flowers or a pumpkin patch, and then the kids were to sell them, is that violating the grant money? And I said, I don't think it would be, because we're not benefiting from it, you know. So he asked me to dig into the original grant to see if there was any wording in there, and he said a lot of times those grants have other things tied to them that might be able to benefit the schools. If they look at that grant and they can read that grant, it may have something in there that they could do something more with it, as far as they might be able to feed off of that grant. So Joel, I asked Kevin, I think it was like in the late 80s when that property was bought, Dave, is that?
About 20 years ago.
About 20 years ago, so.
Linda had some stuff to do with that, too.
Yeah,
Linda
yeah,
was the trustee teacher at the time. And everything. And
right.
You,
so we're kind of waiting, we're kind of in limbo right now just to kind of see what we can find on the grant, if any.
Yeah, I did talk with Linda, and she is looking for that documentation.
Okay.
She's probably the one who would know where it was, too.
Yeah, because I know, Dave, you weren't a trustee here at the time, no. And I was just a kid, so.
What about contacting Ducks Unlimited? They'd have knowledge of that grant. They were the ones that gave the grant.
Were they?
I think they were the ones that gave the grant was Ducks Unlimited.
They gave the grant to purchase that, or to do the marsh?
To put towards the park. Because initially it was listed as a passive nature park.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm almost positive it was Ducks Unlimited is where they got the grant money from, I thought.
Okay.
And you could run that by Linda again, and other than her, there's nobody else around that would have, unless John Hansen remembered something, that would have been the only one that's still alive that you could ask.
All right. Well, I'll give Linda a call tomorrow.
But they were definitely very intrigued by the piece of property. They were very excited about it, and they are willing to. There really was no, like, they were willing to dump some money into it, if need be. You know, signage or, you know, they're like, heck yeah, we can get stuff for this. You know, we can get stuff donated from like BP and Sun Oil. I mean, they can.
Sounds great, because otherwise it's going to kind of sit back here.
That's exactly what I think. So if we can get somebody to use it and do something good and educational with it that
great.
Will benefit the entire community, I'm on board. I told him the only stipulation that I required was it had to stay, the John F. Kennedy name had to stay in there for the fire department reasons. So, and they did not have a problem with that.
And that's the other thing. I don't know if the board would be interested, but the sign out there is getting pretty faded. And before that sign gets any worse, would you be interested in removing the sign and taking it to like where we're getting the trucks done? Because that's basically all that's on that sign. It's a decal they put over top of that board and have that reproduced and make it look nice. Because it's to the family at this point, the way the sign looks, it's not presentable anymore.
I think the fire department should do that. I mentioned that one time. It looks terrible there. The trees are half dead and everything. And
well, the trees are going to be cut down. There ain't no saving.
Yeah, they're junk. But I mean, I think the fire department should take hold of that.
Should you wait until you find out if there's a renaming of it, meaning an additional verbiage to it?
Yeah, I mean, we could take the sign. I wouldn't be opposed to taking the sign down right now if you felt to save it. If it's getting that bad, and we can put it inside until...
And we might have to go to the Kennedys and get that picture again, because I don't think they would be able to draw that picture back out again, just due to its fading, because I think that's where the picture came from. And that could be put back in with the wording and whatever. Yeah, it's not just trees. The sign itself has faded so bad that...
It just looks bad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you don't think it'll make another year or it's going to get worse,
I'll just take it down.
And we put it in a barn for right now, and then hopefully we can get something moving along with this to where we can get something taken care of and we can have them add that to the signage or whatever. We talked to, I'm sure Tony would not have a problem paying to have that done.
I run whatever truck out to get done first. If I can get the sign down, I'll take it with me and have them give me a price on reproducing that sign.
Okay.
And that way we got the price on it for whoever pays for it.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, yep. Because somebody's going to complain if it's not up there.
Well, I'll try to catch the Kennedys down there and talk to her.
Bonnie? Good luck.
Might want in.
She didn't come to the class reunion. Okay. Is that all the old business?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, we'll move on to new business. There's a TEMACOG, there's a tools and rules for managing meetings. It's October 10th from 8:30 to 10:30. And you have to RSVP, Jennifer Allen.
The 10th, it's a Wednesday.
And you must do the second one. That's all about you, the Sunshine Law.
Okay.
Just something to discuss, I guess, on that.
Okay, so recently I went for training on Sunshine Law open meetings, and they talked about any communications that we as trustees have with members of the community and their responses back to us really are, if it's in writing, those constitute records. And right now, we're each set up to use our personal email addresses, and that puts the burden of record retention on each one of us. So I talked with the Assistant Attorney General, and she strongly recommended that we get our own email addresses at the township so that everything would sit on the server, and that would free us from any responsibility for record retention, because it would all be taken care of. Joel's is on the server, so that record retention taken care of. So I guess my recommendation is that we establish three additional email addresses.
You should have them. You two may not be on there yet, but I think there was one for Dave, Ron, and Joe on there.
I think you're right.
If you look on the website, I think there is actually email addresses out there. So and Linda could check on that through Goldfish if you talk to her tomorrow.
Okay.
But I'm almost positive they did.
I think you're right.
So
you're gonna take care of that then?
Yeah, I'll call Linda.
Is there anything out? Everything's open.
Well, hold on. One more thing, and this was just something I've been thinking about, and I kind of brought it up a little bit when we were all in there BSing. What are your thoughts on getting the trustees, the three trustees, like MacBooks, laptops? You can get a MacBook now for what, Joel, $500?
A laptop or an Apple computer?
Like a MacBook. What are the MacBooks?
MacBooks are a little more.
Them a little bit more. So a laptop, say
$500.
$500. That would be, you know, obviously it would be the, you know, the townships, but you know, that we can do, kind of bring us up to a little bit more in the 21st century with you know, some technology and be able to access some stuff here a little easier. You know, it was just a thought of, you know, would it get used? You know, would they get used or would they not get used? Would they, you know, it was a thought of, you know, would, I know Dave, you do a lot of stuff from home, at home. I do a lot of stuff from work, but then there's times where, you know, I don't bring my laptop home from work.
Cindy does a lot at home.
Okay, Cindy does a lot at home for Dave on the, but you know, it might be something that for a very minimal cost, to where you could get, you know, three laptops for the trustees to have that they can do their work on, and you know, you can transport them back here to our desk, and if you need something on there, you're not running home to get an email or, you know, type thing was a thought. I don't know.
And there would be a real advantage to also linking that into a cloud-based storage area that we could, you know, link the server into as well, so that then yeah, you could always get your files.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean that's
and they'd always be backed up.
Yeah.
So the cloud-based thing is already covered with the email that we have. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of a computer, and then you could even lease these things to where they just are there for so long and then they go away when technology changes, and then you get a different one. So you're not stuck with an antiquated computer in 2 years, because that's what happens when you buy something like that.
It's usually outdated by the time you get it. You know, so they've already got something new.
I think a UAN computer goes 4 years maybe, tops?
3 or 4.
So the state is replacing the UAN computer automatically with the printer, whether it's working or not, just to avoid that, you know. New Windows system comes in, they just move it all over and not have to worry about it. It's easily could be done because corporations and nonprofits, they do that all the time. You just have to find a program, and it's just, you rent the machine, right?
That's a nice idea. That way the technology stays current.
And then you don't even, if let's say you, and I don't know what this stuff costs, but let's say you have a problem, you're not calling it's just anybody, you're calling the company you're leasing it from and saying, it doesn't turn on, or the battery needs to be replaced, or my dog ate the power adapter.
You got an IT person.
And they just send you a new one. And if we get out of it, let's say it's for 2 years, and we say, this was stupid, a waste of money, this was not working out, we're not using them, Dave sits in the back of his truck and, you know, puts pumpkins on top of it, then we don't use them, and we're not into it much. Mm-hmm. But if we take responsibility for it, then we have to maintain the equipment ourselves. And then you're not calling me, you know, to ask me to do that, because I might not know, or somebody's in my position might. But there's got to be some leasing program like this where it's not a big one.
Kind of like the printer. I mean, it's the beautiful. Copier, they're the copier. You know, you pay, and they fix it if anything goes wrong with it.
Right.
Do that. So what I'll do is I'll reach out if you guys want me to. I can reach out because we still use Evan, don't we? I can reach out and see if he has any suggestions of leasing companies.
Yeah, it must be one that somebody's got experience with on a national level. So you call 1-800 number, and you get somebody from, you know, wherever that answers your question, and then instead of maybe a local company, which may or may not be around in 2 years,
right? Yeah,
or. It's just what it is. I mean, Evan's fine. I'm not picking on him.
No, I mean, he might be able to direct us in the right place to go for something like that. Or even like the schools. They have, every kid has a freaking MacBook.
Right. They have a service contract with somebody.
Right.
Right.
And that might be a conversation with the school. Who is that through?
Right.
Because then that way, you know, might be a great experience or it might be a horrible one for them.
Right.
Maybe they'd work in with your cooperative agreement.
Get us three Chromebooks, right? So,
but yeah,
I'll reach out to Evan just see if he's got somebody he can recommend, and sure. I'll dig into that a little bit. Just right. Yeah, just something to look at. So that's all I had for the other business, Dave.
Okay, I almost forgot one here. See, Brian Henneman is going to buy 560 North Howard Road from us. You guys have any questions? You want to look at this quick? Or?
Is it 570 or 560?
Oh, that's probably where it was. And that, this is the parcel here, yeah.
I see. It's the parcel north? Address. Okay.
No. Yeah. Right. North, it looks like. She's got 560 North Howard Road.
Okay. So connecting property owner with that too, then?
It's 570 Howard. For $950.
Land bank purchase,
570. Land bank, yeah.
Does he live next door to that?
He would live at that other end. Yeah, this he's one? Right next door.
Okay,
right
so it's an door. Adjoining property
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he's buying adjoining property.
Okay. And what did we set the agreement or the price on this?
I don't know if we did or not, but it's $950 on here.
And this is a non-buildable lot by itself, right? It's only 40 feet wide, is that correct?
Yeah, so it looks like 40 by 94.89.
Okay.
He's so, cutting the grass already, I guess.
So I think I remember we had the attorney fee was like $100, wasn't it? Because mm-hmm. that was something you guys discussed months ago about at least recovering that.
Yeah, even the tax value, the attorney fee, plus Linda's hourly rate for so many hours.
Yeah, just to recoup some of that. So, and it's just a vacant lot sitting there now. I'm fine with that.
Oh yeah, neighbors getting it, it's great.
Yep. So.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the sale of parcel address 570 Howard, and the parcel number is 3370404 to Brian Henneman for $950.
Second.
Okay, roll call. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
I guess that's it. Is there anyone out in the have anything else to say or no, nothing, Dick? Somebody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting.
Second.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.
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 Meeting adjourned.
Thank you.